Good morning, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Council of Elders show with Jansen Brooks. I'd like to introduce to some and present to others the star of the show, Mr. Brooks.
I tell you what, everybody want to be a comedian these days. Thank you. The star of the show. Thank you, y'all. Hello, everybody. My name is Jansen Brooks, and I want to welcome and thank everybody for calling in this week to the Council of Elders program. I want to thank our panelists today, and I'll be introducing to you in just a moment. But now for the new listeners, let me explain the purpose of the Council of Elders concept. The purpose is for older people, elders, to give advice, counsel, and life experience to younger people. Advice that can help them navigate successfully through life, deal with issues, and avoid some of the pitfalls that can affect everyone. The concept is based historically on African culture, where elders in the community had council members to help guide tribe members, settle disputes. Young people are especially invited to call in today with questions or issues. My dream is to have a Council of Elders group or organization in every community in America, and for the Council of Elders to be known about in the community so that people could have an opportunity to get advice from elders about their concerns. But it first starts with a single Council of Elders group. So I'm establishing a group of elders here in the Sacramento, California area, and I'd like to have about 10 volunteers. Once we get enough volunteers, we can go to youth centers, juvenile halls, boys and girls clubs, and churches, etc. We can also be available to young adults as well. Sometimes they need advice on how to raise kids, how to get along in their careers, their marriages, etc. Moving forward, this is an effort to bridge the gap between young people and elders. The younger generation and the older generation should start to merge. The Council of Elders is an effort to do so. And with that, let me just say that I'm excited about our show today because we have some information that I feel needs to be brought to the surface. But before we get into that, let me introduce our panelists today. And we'll start with Tyler McClure. Go ahead, Tyler.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Tyler McClure. I reside out of Sacramento, California. I'm 27 years old, and I'm an expanded learning site coordinator for the nonprofit Center for Fathers and Families. We work with youth and fathers in the community. Thank you for having me this morning.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Walter?
Good morning, everybody. My name is Walter Williams, Jr. I presently reside in Alabaster, Alabama. I'm a retired 38-year law enforcement executive, and I'm just happy to be here, a part of this group.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. We have a special guest today, and I'm very excited to learn about his experience and how his experience can help elders as well as younger people. We have our special guest today, Mr. Randy Carter. Randy was born in Ohio and grew up mostly in Oakland, California, with a short stay in San Diego, California. At the age of 19, Randy was sentenced to 27 years to life in prison. While in prison, Randy turned his life around. He took classes that ultimately changed his life. He got his GED. He took the exam for drug and alcohol counseling that is equivalent to a college degree. He is CADAC certified and he is the associate producer of a documentary. And so, Randy, with that, I'd just like you to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background, and then we'll get into the meat of the show today.
Okay, good morning. Again, my name is Randy Miles Carter, and I'm 56 years old. I was born in Ohio in 1964. At the age of one, my family migrated to Oakland, where I eventually grew up. I'm number five of six children. My parents had six children. My family migrated from Louisiana. I'm number five of six, three older sisters and an older brother and a younger brother. For me, what I learned about myself is that my childhood really started to change very early on when I was seeking help from my parents. Mainly, you know, being picked on by my older siblings and having to go to run to my mother for assistance, for help. And what I noticed as I went to run to my mother for assistance, for help, my mother would go in and she would chastise my siblings, but then I would have to go face my siblings afterwards. And as I faced my siblings, I had to go deal with the name calling, like, you know, you're a tattletale, you're a snitch, right? And hearing these things, I realized that what that meant for me, when I went to my mom and I told her that I had problems with my siblings would ostracize me, and they would, you know, they would put up barriers to my relationship with them. And I wouldn't be able to go places. They wouldn't tell me things. And so what I learned from that was that don't tell mom anything. Don't tell anybody anything. When I went to school, I started hearing the same thing, not to myself, but to other students where teachers would tell other kids, you know, don't tattletale, right? And I started to understand what that meant as far as tattletelling. And so I stopped talking and I stopped asking for help. As a young kid, I never learned how to manage my feelings and my emotions, right? So I started to isolate, and I would suffer in silence. One of the biggest problems in my life, I think, occurred when my mother separated our family when I was at the age of nine, and she separated myself and my little brother from my older siblings, and she moved us to San Diego. And in San Diego, I was, you know, put into a totally different culture, where I went to a school where I was one of five blacks in an entire school, where I experienced a lot of racism and rejection. So remember, there's a pattern of rejection. I had a pattern of rejecting my family, pattern of rejection with my peers. Right? And so I didn't know how to cope with my feelings and emotions because I was told not to cry. I was told to shut up, right? And nobody really listened. But at the age of 13, I moved back from San Diego and I moved back to Oakland, where there was a culture shock, because when I came back, I talked different. When I was in San Diego, I had structure. I went to school every day. I came home from school. I did my homework. I came in when the streetlights came on. I ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I went to bed at the same time. Right? When I moved back to Oakland, it was totally different for me, because when I went to school and I came back from school and I did my homework, I got teased. When I talked and I didn't use profanity, I got teased because I didn't use slang and I didn't use profanity. When I went outside and I came back in, when the streetlights came on, I got teased, right? And then I started feeling embarrassed and I started feeling hurt. So I eventually started changing, switching over to cursing, stopped coming home from school, doing my homework, staying out after the streetlights. And eventually I started getting into the system. I started getting in trouble and getting into the system. And remember, I didn't know how to manage my feelings and my emotions, so a lot of my anger started turning into resentment, right? And this is eventually what led me to prison, with all this resentment that I had, not just for the crime that I committed, but it started at an early age, at the age of nine, when my mother separated me and my siblings. when I went to prison, I didn't change overnight. It took several years, and until at least 2007 and 2008 when I really started to learn something as far as information that helped me change, to change my life. But it was a struggle just to stay out of trouble and just to survive in prison. But eventually I was chosen to become a mentor in a program where I was going to be taught information as far as drug and alcohol counseling while I was in prison. And then what that caused me to do was do research on myself, right, and where I came from. In order to work with other people, I had to dig into my own stuff, my own guilt, my own shame, my own hurt, and my own pain. I had to deal with my own stuff in order to deal with people and helping them drag them up out of their stuff. And so I did go through this training, and I completed the training and got certified, and I mentored other prisoners in prison from 2009 all the way up until the day I paroled in 2016. So I got out at the age, I got arrested at 18, and I was released at the age of 52. So I ended up doing 34 years in prison, and it was very hard, very challenging. I did not want to be there. I continue to suffer from hurt and pain and rejection, because when you're in prison, people don't want to visit. They don't want to accept your phone calls, right? It's difficult, especially from my family. It was like, hey, you put yourself there, you need to be there. And so I had to suffer, again, with rejection. And eventually I had to talk about that stuff. I had to talk about that rejection. I had to talk about not being heard. All I wanted to do was just to be heard. I just needed to be heard. But the thing is, I needed to feel safe talking about things, about my feelings and my emotions that were vulnerable, like that rejection that I felt and feeling insecure, right, because I was being judged, right? And one of the things that I leaned on was church and my spirituality, right? But like right now, like what we're going through in these times right now, people can't go to church, right? People were going to church out here every Sunday. People can't go to church now. But you know what? There was times when I was in prison and I was on lockdown and I couldn't go to church. But I learned how to cope. I'm seeing people out here struggling.
Right.
But I learned how to cope.
Mm.
I learned how to cope. Because what I learned is God, he's everywhere.
Amen.
I can get that support everywhere. Those
Amen.
Feelings and emotions that I couldn't cope with, those feelings and emotions that I couldn't cope with, I had to become free on the inside. I'm not talking about in prison.
Right.
I had to become free on the inside. And I learned how to turn that over. In order
to
cope.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Oh, so you say you mentored other people. I didn't mean to talk, but you mentored other people, right?
Who's speaking?
I would assume that you meant, this is Tyler.
Okay.
You mentored other people while you were still battling within yourself, yes?
Yes.
How difficult was it for you to mentor others and still have this 34-year-long feeling of pain and resentment as you're mentoring others? And then how did you bounce back from that? And where you at now with that pain and that resentment that you had? As you talked about the hope that you had in Christ Jesus, where are you at now with that? And how difficult was it at first to mentor other people and to provide a safe haven for them, but still not have that on your own?
So in prison, we had curriculum. Curriculum that was developed, whether it was curriculum that was brought into the institution or some curriculum that we were able to develop on our own, right? And in the body of that curriculum, some of the lessons touched on those issues, like forgiveness, right?
Yeah.
This piece I worked on with someone else about How do I forgive? How do I want to be forgiven? And what won't I forgive? But we first talked about forgiveness, right? And when you're talking about this stuff, it's not just a general discussion.
Wow.
I literally had to talk about how I forgive. And everybody in the group talked about this. So when we had curriculum, we had curriculum that was facilitated that offered the opportunity for everybody to address their stuff. And what I learned is that as long as I'm living, I always got stuff to manage. As long as I'm living, I always have stuff to manage. And one thing I learned, mainly about anger, right, is for a while I thought that anger can be controlled. And I also, because of the judgment, right, of other people and the authorities, I thought that since I was in prison, and I was the only one who suffered from anger issues. This is what I believe for a while, and not just myself, but other people in prison. But what
right.
I learned is that
right.
anger can just be managed. It can only be managed. It can't be controlled. As human beings, we are going to be angered.
Yes.
Life is going to happen. Issues is going to come up. So I have to manage my issues every single day. That's what I know about me. And getting out of the denial that stuff is not going to come up. But as
yeah.
far as resentment, it's about forgiveness. Right? And it's about wanting to be happy. And it's about allowing that person who wants forgiveness, allowing them that space to get it. And not denying
yeah.
it to them. Right? If a person wants to apologize, allow them that space to do it. And not ducking and not accepting a call, avoiding them. No. That's not helping me. I need to get that out of my head so that I can move on. Right?
That's good.
Let
me get to my next question. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So my next question for you is, I'm 27, and so even I work with kids ages 6 to 19 years old. And so what I hear you say is, you know, forgiveness. And so a lot of young brothers, you know, we have the gang banging and the street violence. So as a council of elders, how would you use that forgiveness, and what would your advice be to young brothers dealing with pride, and how do you see that being a detriment if they do not refuse to forgive or go through that process? And what is the urgency that they need to learn how to ditch that pride and that anger?
So, first of all, I'm going to say that I don't like to give advice to anyone, right? And what I believe is that, just like myself, those kids, anybody, just need to be listened to. So just opening the
sure.
floor up and holding space for these youngsters to talk in a structured,
amen.
In a facilitated manner, a child or anyone else will tell you anything that you need to know to help them.
Yeah.
And the one thing I learned about people who were involved in gangs, because I know a lot of people were involved in gangs, specifically the gangs from Los Angeles, California, is that not just California, but people don't know how, a lot of people just don't know how to grieve and not know how to
yeah.
mourn. Loss. It's just about grief and loss. Right? They don't know how to lose a friend. Right? They don't know how to lose somebody close to them. Right?
Okay.
They don't know how to go through that process.
Yeah.
So
that's
teaching.
Real good.
The thing is,
let me interject right about here. This
sure.
is the Council
belief,
of the Show. And
my
we're
belief,
talking with Jason Brooks. And
my belief will determine my
Bradley
options.
Carter.
If one of my beliefs is not to call the police, if one of my beliefs is not to tell, and that means don't tell anybody. Don't tell my mama, because she might fear for my life and go call the police. Not tell my siblings, because they might fear for my safety and call the police. Don't tell my
yeah,
girlfriend,
yeah.
because she may fear for my life and tell the police. right? So the whole goal as a person with that mentality is not to tell authorities and get that, because my belief, and that strong belief not to be called a snitch, right?
That's right.
Protecting other people limits my options. And so it's important, what I used to do, it's important with people who have that belief, I would get a whiteboard, put it on the whiteboard. If your belief is not to call the police, let's talk about some other options. And so we would list those options on the board.
All right, gentlemen, let me interject right here. We got a full board. Jackson, we have a full board, and folks would like to be let in. Can I let someone in?
And so, or I would section them off into groups and ask them to come back with a list of options. What is your options besides calling the police? What could you do? How do you mourn? How do you grieve your friend without going? What is a different way of doing it without going to retaliate? Because there's a chance that somebody's going to tell on you. There's a chance that one of y'all going to get hit and die. What is another way to seek, right, revenge, if that's what you want to call it? But let's just choose another word. What is another word that we can use besides revenge? And it's about language that's used, right? And that's another thing I learned while I was in prison that I didn't know. I didn't know the difference, and most males that I met in prison didn't know the difference between a thought and a feeling or an emotion. What moves them, right? And so that all goes into expressing how I feel and being able to articulate how I feel and being able to manage my emotions. My thought, right, is going to trigger my feelings.
I say,
you know what? I don't want to go out. I don't want to retaliate and hurt nobody else. I want to be able to resolve this without hurting somebody and then living my life looking over my back because somebody's going to be trying to get me next. One of us going to get hit next,
right.
And then it just continues. The cycle continues.
Right. Hey, Randy.
Yes.
Hey, Randy. We got some folks that want to chime in, maybe ask you a question or have some comments. Can we let them in?
Yes.
Okay, Oscar. We'll let the first caller in.
Okay. Callers, you will be identified by your last four digits, so please be prepared when I turn the microphone on. You're listening to the Council of Elders show with Jensen Brooks and his special guest, Randy Carr. And when you get finished your comment or your question, please mute your microphone. Caller 3040, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Dr. Sunday Oyewole. I'm really excited about what we're hearing from Brother Carter. And one lesson I'm learning from what you're telling us and what I learned growing up is the virtue of how to communicate. Because I hear you talking about no snitching, no talking behind anybody and all the rest of that. One thing I learned, and this is something that I've taught my children, is when nobody else is going to listen, when you don't want to snitch, when you don't want to just tell on anybody else, there's somebody else you can talk to. You can talk to me and your mother. And in your situation when your father and mother separated, that creates a little kind of a difficult situation for you. But at the same time, what I tell my children is when nobody else wants to listen to you, I will listen to you, your mother will listen to you, but there's somebody else that's most important that will listen to you. You can talk to God. David, as a Christian, David in the Bible, he did so many things wrong. And look where David is today. Without David, we wouldn't be here as Christian today. We would not have the kind of faith we have. So David talked to God and opened up his heart because there was nobody else. So he talked to God, and this is something that I've taught my children, when nobody else is going to listen, when you don't want to snitch, when you don't want to talk, have somebody else talk behind you, you can talk to God and ask God to forgive you and ask God to guide you. And so this is something that I'm glad you pick up some lesson while you are in prison, because we are all prisoners one way or the other, even when we're not in this structured environment. So what you've gone through is very, I'm very impressed that you've gone through what you've gone through, the anger, the frustration. So I'm just saying, and I'm glad you found God, and God is guiding you. And I just want to commend you for that, because God is one person that you can talk to when nobody else is going to listen to you, and it will take care of it for you. That's my comment.
Yes, sir, Brother Sunday. Thank you for your comment. By the way, everybody, Brother Sunday is the first volunteer for the Council of Elders here in Sacramento. Thank you, Brother Sunday. And if you would mute your microphone so that we couldn't hear the background noise, appreciate it. Is there a next caller, Oscar?
Thank you.
And then
caller,
after this, we'll get
8473. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Good morning. Ron Rogers, Sacramento, California. And it was very good to hear from Brother Sunday, even though we haven't met. I'm looking forward to that, sir. I really appreciate what you've just said, because I really feel that this is what the Council of Elders is about. We're not just about chiming in on your problems. We're chiming in the biblical aspect. And this is one thing that I've learned over my many years. If you allow God to do what he's going to do, he'll work it out for you, just like Brother Sonny said. My whole idea, my brother, and forgive me for forgetting your name, but I'm old.
Randy Carter.
But Randy Carter, thank you. Brother Carter, you've learned a lot in a short time, really.
I'm still learning. I'm still learning.
Amen. If you're not, you dead. But this is what we're saying. Now, my bottom line on what you were saying is stick to the truth, because this is what God expects us to do. He will work it out, as Brother Sunday said, but stick to the truth. And that's simple. That's what a lot of our young people don't understand. I've been young once. See, I didn't want to hear what you had to say when I was 25, because I knew I had my way and this is going to work. I didn't realize God had my back, and a whole lot of the decisions I was making was invalid, not only in my life, but in the world. It is designed. You're not going to beat the world. That's the reason the Lord asked us to get within our own. Feel comfortable where you are. You've done very good in realizing who you are. You can't control anybody else. You barely can control yourself. That's been my experience. But, you know, control is relative. And if you can't control yourself, why are you going to try to expect to control somebody else? That's the reason that I feel that this is so important, the Council of Elders, because it gives you alternatives. I heard something from Sister Green here a couple of weeks ago, who is a, you know, she's a person that works with folk that's come out of prison. And I remember it very well, the fact that she said most of the folks that she talked to, if she'd have gave them that same information that you're talking about, deal with your emotion, deal with your frustration, deal with yourself before you try to conquer the world, I wouldn't be in jail. I'd be out on the street doing stuff.
Brother Rogers, thank you for your comments. We have a little bit more information that we want to talk to Brother Randy about. And could you mute your microphone so we can hear background noise? Randy, when we were talking in our pre-interview, you said that you like to work with adults. And
yes.
Part of this is adults, and then we talked about how your parents and everybody else's parents cannot teach kids what they don't know. And so give us a few tips, you know, as far as, you know, if we had a young man or a young lady that was in your same situation, help us to understand how we can maybe improve the situation.
Well, what I've learned is that a lot of youth really don't know where their parents came from or come from. I didn't know where my parents came from. I didn't know my mother's history. I didn't know that my mother was getting me what she got. I mean, I knew my grandmother and I knew how she was, but I really didn't make the connection between my grandmother and my mother. I didn't make that connection. And I never knew my great grandmother, which is my grandmother's mother. So I don't know what she went through and what she passed on to my grandmother. But what I do know, and I did realize what my grandmother passed on to my mom, because I've seen the same things. And so the thing is, as an adult and as a parent, a lot of kids just don't know how their parents became alcoholics, became drug addicts, have anger issues. They don't know. They just know that they drink or they use drugs or they're hard to talk to because they're angry or they're confrontational whenever you try to have a conversation with them. So with adults, right, just getting past that guilt and shame, but the adult's going to have to work on themselves. I mean, I can listen to, not really talk to youth, but listen to youth. Youth don't want to be talked to. They want to be heard. They want to listen to. But the thing is, everybody doesn't have that patience or that skill set. And the patience to listen, not just to youth, but to anyone else. It's not that they don't want to. It's not that people don't want to listen, but people just don't know how to listen without judgment.
Very good. Very good.
Without interrupting, without giving advice, because some of the stuff that they're hearing from their children or from their friends or their girlfriends or husband is too painful to hear and they want it to stop, so they start giving advice, right? Or people start judging because they want people to change through guilt and shame. If I guilt and shame you enough, you'll change. But no, that doesn't work. What that does is it leaves your partner, it leaves your relationships. People go to the street. Right. So it's about people dealing with their own stuff first. I had to deal with my own stuff. Right. But then, you know, you might have parents who just aren't capable of dealing with their own stuff. My mother wasn't capable when I went and talked to my mother when I got out. She wasn't in a space where she can really talk about her own stuff. My grandmother didn't allow my mother to go to school. My mother had to work in the fields. My mother was a sharecropper. In Louisiana, and my mother resented her mother for not allowing her to go to school. Right, my mother started going to school in her 60s in San Diego to try to complete her education, and she resented her mother for that, and she carried that for a long time. Right, But it's certain things that I didn't know about my mother that she carried with her. But I had to talk to my mother and open and hold that space for my mother to feel safe to tell me about her childhood so that I can understand. It's about understanding in order to forgive and get rid of that resentment. But I have to be able to listen to what people have to say. But I have to hold the space. I have to know how to open that space up for people to talk.
My comment there. This is Ron, and I just want to make a quick comment on just what you said, sir, because this is the same journey that I'm asking everybody to take. See, your mother, your father, if he was present, and I'm not sure, but your people only gave you what they had.
Exactly.
Okay. And where we want to go from here is the direction, exact direction, that I'm praying for everybody to have. They gave you what they had. It's your responsibility to take that on. We're starting to realize that forgiveness is one of the best blessings that we can ever have. But we have to start that. I can't wait for my dead mother to start that. And there is where I agree. And one other comment, like you say, see, I can't give you advice if you don't ask for it. That, Tyler, if you're still there, that's where we are with the younger generation. See, I can tell you all day what I think the problem is and what the solution is, but if you're not interested, it goes nowhere. So
yeah,
I got to pretty much rely on you. Just ask me something. Maybe we can start talking, and you'll get something from what I had to say. And that's what I feel the council bill is about. Thank you.
Now, Mr. Ron, that's good that you say that because I heard the question come up twice, like, what is the advice be for a younger generation? And having had been in that position at some point, I think the biggest advice for them is, when it comes to pride or when it comes to, you know, dealing with resentment or anger issues, having had been there at some point in my life, I would say, you know, reach out. When you have those difficulties, don't try to fight them on your own. Like the gentleman said, we can barely deal with ourselves. Don't try to control every situation that's beyond you. Learn how to control yourself, but also seek something higher than yourself. I think a lot of us here have faith in common. Seek God that's higher than yourself, because in that's where we find forgiveness. We can't find that in our own strength, because we ain't got it. We ain't built like that. So my advice to the younger gentleman is just to reach out, like he said, and then also to seek he who's higher than you. So I appreciate that, Mr. Ron, and yeah.
Mr. Brooks,
right,
we have another caller would like to be let in. Can I let him in?
Sure. Go ahead.
Caller 36-06. Live on the Council of Bellas. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Michael Gant, and I'm calling from Sacramento, California. I am one of the newest members, I imagine, of the Council of Elders. And Randy, I like everything that I'm hearing, but I would like to add, as I am a mental health peer specialist, I talk to a lot of people every day. I talk at length with an organization, NAMI Sacramento. We have what's called In Our Own Voice, and we go around and we tell our stories. And that's how I go about trying to help someone else. Usually people come to me and they ask questions. They say that they're feeling a certain way and they want to know how to deal with it. And first of all, like you, I don't give advice. But what I do is if somebody asks me something, we generally all have similar experiences. Maybe they're not the exact experience. I never had to go to prison. I've been to jail, but I never had to go to prison. But I still understand some things. I mean, I was in an institution. I was in the military, for 15 years. And, you know, there's still things that I had to do every day. And during those times, I was active in alcoholism and substance abuse. But I am not. But I am now clean and sober. I'm in recovery from both from that as well as my mental health issues. And again, what I've had to learn is I've had to take responsibility for things in my life that I used to blame on other people. You know, and I can do that all day long, but the problems never go away. So I had to start doing some studying about myself, especially after I found out I had mental health issues. And what I, you know, so what I would do is I studied about the symptoms that I was diagnosed with, and I compared my experiences to those symptoms, and so that I can have a better understanding of how to help myself. Because you have to be able to help yourself before you can help others. But I believe that, you know, I've come a long way. You know, just like you, I have something to learn every single day, and I do. And I really appreciate your story, appreciate all the efforts that you are making, and I hope that maybe one day we'll have an opportunity to sit down and have a conversation about it. And I wish you well, and God bless you, my brother.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
So, can I say something to Michael before we go to the next person?
Sure. Yes.
So, I just wanted to say to Michael that I work as a case manager here in San Francisco, and a lot of the people that I work with are homeless and are making the transition from the street into housing, and a lot of people that I work with have issues with substance abuse as well as mental health issues, and so I deal with that population on a daily basis, and it can be challenging. And another thing that I wanted to share is about forgiveness and about communicating with other people and how I heard things when things were communicated to me. For example, if someone said, you know, well, you need to learn how to forgive. In my mind, when I was still learning who I was, in my mind, I was like, I don't need to learn anything. I don't need to forgive anybody because you don't know what I've been through. This is what, and that's why I be patient and I take the time to think about what I'm going to say to people, because it sounded like I'm judging them, right? And then they may not be open to hearing what I'm saying. So rather than me telling a person that they need to change or they need to forgive, I would reframe that question and ask people, how do they forgive, right? So always think about what I'm going to say to people, because I remember what was said to me and what went through my head, right? So I just wanted to say that before.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of like what we are looking for, Randy. Ways that we can improve communications, because believe it or not, I would say probably 90% of the people on this call never heard of what you're talking about. You know, of that technique. You know,
yeah.
Understanding how someone else perceives what they're saying. So,
Amen.
If you have any other techniques and tips like that, we'd be happy for you to share, Randy.
Okay.
Mr. Brooks, we have another person who'd like to make a comment or ask a question. Can
I please let them in? Yes, sir.
All right. Caller 6050. You're live on the Council of Elders. State your name and where you're calling from.
Patrick, calling from Toronto, Canada. How's everyone doing? I haven't called in a while, so I'm really enjoying the program so far. It's really enlightening. I did want to make a comment about what someone said. Someone said that you start with the truth, and I can't remember the gentleman's name, but I think that's really important, and I think the first people that need to start with the truth are the elders. And are the parents. That's where it needs to start. Because that's where the I won't call them lies, but that's where it comes from. That's where it starts.
That's right. That's right.
A baby is born into this world and has all the beautiful possibilities, you know, to reach their potential. But we can't wait to start lying to that baby. Hey, guess what? The Easter bunny that lays eggs. Hey, guess what? On December 25th, his white ass comes out of the chimney and gives you some gifts. How about that?
Yes,
you like that?
Yes.
You see what I mean? We can't wait for it. So I think the truth starts with the elder. The truth starts
with
the parents. There's some hard truths that we don't like to tell young people, and then they get out here and get turned around, and they don't know what's going on. They don't know what's going on because we never told, because we don't like to tell young people the truth, because it may make them feel uncomfortable. It may make us feel uncomfortable.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. Might I comment? This is Ron Rogers, Sacramento. Might I comment on what the brother from across the border said right there? That's sweet.
Go ahead, Ron.
Because, see, again, it goes with the truth. See, most of us grew up just like you did, sir. We didn't get the truth. And it wasn't expected at that time, see. You were just trying to be who you were. You didn't know where you came from. I didn't know I had a drinking problem until I was 30 years old. That's because nobody ever told me that I like drinking. I had to find that out myself. And that goes along with exactly what you're saying, Mr. Canada. I'm sorry, I don't remember your name. But you just got to find out who you are. And then you can line it up against the truth. My granddaddy was an alcoholic and a womanizer. The fruit don't fall very far from the tree. But until I had an aunt to tell me, because my mama didn't want to tell me, everything she said was a secret, then I figured out that's the reason I like drinking. My daddy is the reason that I like chasing women. Are you responsible for your father's sins? Yes, you are, because they're your sins also. So let's just follow the truth. And thank you again.
Absolutely.
Right.
Thanks for that.
You know, about another half an hour or so, maybe a little bit less than that.
No, we don't.
But
11 minutes.
Something.
11 minutes.
11 minutes. Randy,
honey.
You know, could we touch on music therapy? I know you mentioned that to me the other night. I want the audience to know about that exists. You could take maybe a couple minutes and just enlighten us on that, the music therapy.
Oh, what I was sharing was that in one of the groups that I was in, one of the things we did, like on Fridays, is we allowed the people who were participating to bring in their favorite CD or their favorite music and to share with the group. And let the group know why they listened to the CD and how did the CD make them feel, and when did they listen to the CD, and then shared the music, whatever it was, with the group, whether the song reminded them of childhood, whether it took them to a safe place, whether it reminded them of taking a long drive, sitting at the beach, in the backyard, wherever, and then just sharing it with the group and the group listening to it as a whole, and then the group in turn, individually, everybody going around the group talking about where the music or the song? What was their experience with listening to the song? And what did it remind them of? Or what did it take them to? So, and then this was just a process of the music, whether it's the beats or the lyrics or whatever. And and every week, this is something that we did with the participants and allowing people to come in and bring their music in. And it seemed to work.
Right. Well, that's just something I wanted to throw out there because I had never heard of the term music therapy the way you explained it to me, but it does make a lot of sense. And I've been saying if I ever get $1 million, I'm going to figure out how to put some positive music out here in the universe for kids and people to listen to.
Might I comment there, Brother Jensen? Because I know we're getting close there, but real quick now. See, and me and another brother of mine, we discuss this all the time. There's no new games in the world. There's just new players. You know what we call that back in 83, 84? Southwestern Bells, who I worked for at that time, they used to call it biofeedback training. And you didn't go in with your music. You went in with seaside music. You went in with relaxing kind of music, and you'd sit there and listen for an hour. And it did bring you down. It did, you know, bring you back to a space where you felt safe. Now they've developed it further. But it's the same training. It's just to get you to relax. It's really just to get you to relax and let God take over. See? Because we always want to fix things, especially for men. How often have you... I've heard from my wife, I didn't tell you that so you could fix it. I just told you that because I needed somebody else to hear it.
That's right.
And that's kind of where we are. That's what I would like brethren to realize and understand. You can't fix everything.
That's right.
And if you pray on it, and I'm real big about that now. I used to not be, but I'm real big about that now. Most of the times when I get there, God done already solved the problem. We're just signing the paper. So again, I do agree with that, and I'm again both Tyler, if you're still listening, and my brother that's the interviewer today.
Sure. I'm still here. Still present.
Okay. Well, I definitely just pay attention. Find out what's really the concern, and go toward that. Don't mess around with all that other stuff. What they say, how they do, what they did. God gave you the ability to forgive. Forgive and move on. Do better.
Right. We got a few more minutes here, probably about 7 minutes. So, Randy, thank you so much for coming on today, and I want to give you.
Please mute your microphone.
Say that again.
We wanted to give you a few minutes to kind of summarize. I know that there's a lot more that we could talk about, but the hour goes by so quick. But just if you have some comments that's on your heart, please share them right now, Randy.
All I would like to say is that redemption is real.
Amen.
And that it's possible. And not to give up. Don't give up on the youth. Not to give up on the adults. Not to give up on humanity, no matter what's going on in the world. We can recover. Recovery is possible. Redemption is possible. it's not impossible to recover from guilt, shame, hurt, pain, and disappointment. I'm a living example that you can survive and you can continue to live and move forward if we don't give up. Don't give up on people.
Amen.
Don't give up on them.
Amen. Brother Jansen,
amen.
May I quick, make a quick comment? May I make a quick comment before we get
yes,
out?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Walter. Go ahead.
This is Walter Williams, and I thank you so much, Randy, for your story. And you gave a lot of good information about how to make leeway in allowing people to just talk and how to lead them in and how that's a skill that you had to develop and that they will invariably tell you what they want to. But the last part that we were talking about, when we talk about the music therapy, and I was just studying something from a biblical standpoint, is really called the rhythm of life. And you just summed it all up. Don't give up. Jesus didn't give up on us. He hasn't given up on us. Jesus told us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's there always. He never gets as bad as we are. He still stands there with his arms open wide. This is the greatest example that we could have. If we emulate him, which is what we're supposed to do, become more like him, if we emulate him, we can help each other, and the world will be a better place. But thank you so much.
Amen.
Let me say one more thing. What I learned is that when we start to give up, when I started to give up, is because I felt like I didn't have any control. What I learned is that I don't have any control at all. I'm not the one that's
exactly
in control.
Exactly.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Tyler McClure, what's going on, man?
Man, I'm sitting here grateful. I'm sitting here grateful to be able to have wisdom on the other side of the phone, on the other side of the border, back home in Sac in the Bay, to be able to sit on this call and just soak this up has been phenomenal. I think Randy said that, Mr. Randy said that redemption is real, and I think that's, like the other gentleman said, we don't have to be in prison to know that we're still in a prison, and that's the prison of the flesh, but we also can be free in Christ, and just knowing that is reassuring enough that when I go through things,
amen,
that, you know, it's not the end, and though I don't have control, I'm connected to he who does have control. So I'm soaking it all up. I'm overwhelmed with gratitude.
Amen.
With,
amen.
You know,
amen.
Learning. So hey. I appreciate you, Mr. Randy and Mr. Rogers and
thank
everybody,
you for having
Mr. Canada. So I'm grateful. But
right on, Mr.
On
Canada.
Here,
bring it on back.
Mr. Canada. Just soaking it all up. So I'm grateful as well to be able just to listen today. So thank you.
All right. Tyler, thank you for being on the show today. We're going to have you back pretty soon. Thank you for your good questions. Randy, we really appreciate you coming on the show today. You mentioned in our earlier conversation about a part two. So we're going to have you back. We'll take a little deeper dive into some of the stuff that we talked about today. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. And,
okay, thank you for having
Tyler,
me.
Tyler, are you there?
Yes, sir. I am present.
Tyler, I'd like you to ask you to close us out with a prayer today, my brother.
No problem. Let's get it. You guys ready?
Yes. Amen.
Father God, we come to you saying thank you. We thank you for allowing us to gather today, Lord. While the world is shut down, Lord, we know that your ministry isn't. So we're just grateful for the opportunity to be able to fellowship yet again in your name. We thank you for the reassurance from your son, Lord, that we are redeemed, that we are set free, and that we have freedom and liberation through you, Lord. We know that the circumstances of this world might seem dark, but we know that with your light that you have guidance and direction. So we thank you. I ask that you just touch every young brother listening, every older brother listening, Lord, that we may bridge the gap and with the council of elders to touch the future of this world so that we may have a better place and that we may raise men and not old boys
And we thank you in Jesus' name, pray, Lord. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
That will wrap up our show today.
Amen. All righty then. The show is officially closed, so we can still talk to each other, but the show is officially ended.
Okay. Randy, are you still there? I guess he must have hung up at the end of the show. Yeah, very good show today, Oscar. Everything went well. And so we got the recording of it too, right?
Show. Oh yeah, that's a wrap. That's a full wrap.
Outstanding job, guys.
You did an outstanding job today. You come a long way, man.
Hush, don't tell him that. Don't tell him that. Then he go on the brass police.
I want to congratulate him. I don't want to hate. I want to congratulate. Agreed.
But I don't like to give that kind of kudos because he get his chest all swole out and everything.
Well, I want him to have confidence.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Dr. Sunday, it was very good to have you on this on the show today. I had never talked to you, and I had never heard your voice.
Well, we all going to get to meet one day, I hope, Brother Sunday, if you're still there.
Yeah, he must have hung up at the end of the show.
Yeah, he must be gone, too. But again, gentlemen, great show.
I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
Great show. I'm listening.
I would like to admonish you, whoever it was with the dishes in the background. You can't help hearing a car or something in the background if you're outside or close to a street. But the dishes and the rattling and stuff is something we can do something about. So we got to keep encouraging each other. Mr. Brooks, you got to tell folks regular, please mute your microphones, even if you.
Yeah,
because we got up to 9 folks today that had hot mics.
Sweet.
And so every time we open up the microphone for somebody, unless I'm forced to, and that we actually get up to the 10 number, I'm going to leave them open. So just like Ron kept coming back in, it's because his mic is open. And so unless I'm forced to, I won't turn anybody off once they're live. In case they want to make another comment.
Yeah, and I think that, again, like you said, is the biggest deal. We have to remind people about the mute button because that's the only problem that I really heard was that dish thing. And you could hear the dishes, you know, being deal. And he probably said it, or you probably said it, but the person didn't hear it, you see. So it might take 2 announcements. Hey, somebody's got their mute button, or even put it like that to see that again. Like you said, with the telephone number, it's going to identify somebody's doing their dishes. Put your phone on mute. Be direct.
And
they will know
comment.
Exactly who they're talking about.
Jansen, one comment for you is. You made a comment during the show that we got about 30 minutes left. You need to set your phone or a timer of some kind so that you start it like a stopwatch. You start it at the beginning, and you know exactly how much time you have left because it's very important to keep track of that. If you're the one that's doing the lion's share of the talking, you need to keep letting folks know. I don't want to break in over the top of people. I will. Because those dishes start getting annoying very, very quickly. But
you made a statement there. Because Jensen said, I think we got like 27 minutes or so. And you said, no, we got 15. And again, that's your responsibility. No, you're wrong. We got 15 minutes. We don't have 20-something. And we ran real close with Tyler's prayer. But again, see, that's kind of a little experience that he has that we don't. See, he was kind of conscious of the time, and he cut it off about 30 seconds before it went off.
Amos, you're live, and 7632 is live, whoever that is. You're live with Talk on the After Talk right now. We're not going out over the air, so you can make a comment if you like. Amos, are you there? Okay, you don't want to talk. Anyway, 7632, you're live if you want to talk.
I'm here, but the elders are doing a good job.
Oh, stop it.
Hush, honey. See, I knew you were going to come on with something. You don't want to talk. I just want to sit back here and watch y'all.
I really do appreciate you joining the show today. 7632 is live also, even though you didn't press your button. I opened the mic because this is the wrap up, and so we're doing the after talk right now. So we're trying to figure out how we can do this better. Okay,
I want to mention.
You don't
want to
talk.
Huh? Is that you? I wanted to mess with Amos since we got this minute here. Where you been, man? Just listening, like you're doing now. Huh? Just listening. All right, I'm just messing with you.
And I've been trained. If you don't hear nothing, don't say nothing.
That's me. I don't like you. That's good. That is good. Glad to hear you on, man.
Excellent topic. And what is being done is something that is needful. And as you all know, if you gotta be thoughtful, and you gotta be conscientious of the other person when you make those comments about mute your mic, you're working on dishes in the background and so forth, because it might not be very well accepted by everybody.
Yeah.
I do agree with that. Yeah, I do agree with that, but we got to run the rest of the show too, and that's the reason I was saying if we just break and say somebody's mic is open and I hear dishes, and then that would just, if that's you, that's you.
My comment was addressed to the entire audience, not just to you, Ron. And the comment was because you don't know what a person is going through in relationship to. So what I was saying is try to be sensitive and conscientious when you do make those kinds of remarks. That's all I was saying.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not that it shouldn't be said. It's just a matter of how you say it. And as was stated today, as we all know, your words have power. So if you don't say and like I said, you don't know what that person is going through.
Right.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a way, Oscar, that, after a person finishes talking, just can you mute them from your end?
I could, but also Ron wouldn't have been able to come back on if I had muted it once I turned it off.
Right. Right.
And so
right. I wouldn't have been able to come in and comment.
Correct. I was trying to be conscientious to let everybody who can come on make as many comments, but if you want me to turn them off, I will. I was very excited for the person that called in from Ontario, Canada. That was exciting
to me too.
Because that lets me know this thing is heard all over the place.
I agree with Oscar there, because now what you want them to do is really what I was doing. When I would make my comment, I would mute the my phone and then listen. And again, with that, each person that has commented is responsible for that. And that's where I meant to go with what Amos was saying. Yeah, you do want to be kind. You want to know what, and that's the reason I was saying, like, just say, okay, somebody is open on the mute button because they're doing dishes. Now, that doesn't mean anything, but the person who is doing dishes, okay, just mute the phone. And yes, we do want to be sensitive, but we have to run a show, and we do have to get on the next week. So when next week when you call in, you'll realize that once you make a comment, just mute your phone. You can come back in. Oscar doesn't have to cut you off at that point. You can come in anytime you want to. All they have to do is unmute your phone and say, this is
we hear
Ron.
That, whoever's making that rustling right now, we hear that just fine. Unfortunately, these phones these days can hear outside noise better than they can the person who's talking. So, Michael,
right.
You got any comments?
Well,
Michael, you have any comments?
When it comes, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. When it comes to the notifications asking people to mute, I agree as long as we're courteous and conscientious. I think it's definitely necessary to come in, you know, and ask them to mute themselves because one thing I noticed this morning in the intro that Oscar made sure to instruct us all that, you know, when we press one to make a comment and we've made our comment, to press mute after we're done, and that's what I did. Now, I understood that I was probably hot, and if I wanted to, I could have left my phone on mute, or now that I know that once I'm on, I'm hot and I'm going to remain hot, I still put my phone on mute, but you know, then I'll unmute myself if I have another comment. And I think that the more the show goes on, people are going to catch on.
Exactly. Yes. We just have to keep responding the way that we are. I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just saying, who's ever outside that's got a fire department coming down, you need to mute your phone. That's all you're saying.
You know, this, a lot of this is still new to, even though we've been in this pandemic for, you know, 6 months or more, and we, you know, and people have been doing Zoom and you know, WebEx, Cisco, and all these various platforms, it's still new to a lot of people. So,
amen.
It's just going to take
thank
time.
You know, yeah, that's all it's going to take. We'll run up to these problems all the time. So don't. This is just another bump in the road. That's all it is. We can figure out a way to do it. So. Again,
well,
let me say
my on my way to glory. I really enjoyed doing the show today. It was fun. I think we got a lot of things ironed out about the way the show is going to go. I don't know everybody who listened in, but I knew some of the people because I've done it regular enough now to recognize some of the phone numbers. But like me and some of the fellas have talked about in days gone by, in the days, just a reminder, like to Mr. Jensen, just for you for sure, keep in mind that has to be said, because if you roll back through your Rolodex right now, I bet you can't hardly remember three people's phone number. I know I can't, because on your phone now, you press in somebody's name. I press Ronald Rogers in on my phone, and I know I'm calling Ronald Rogers. Do I remember his phone number? Heck no. Didn't know it for 15 years. Let's still know his phone number. And the only reason I know Amos's phone number is because I've been knowing him for 20 years, and we bought cell phones at the same time. No, 35 years. And we bought cell phones at the same time. I just happen to know his. But he's one of the few people I know the phone number by looking at it. So it's very difficult. Michael, thank you for the comment about calling on people's last four digits, because they're sitting there, and I called the show myself a few months ago, about 4 or 5 months ago, and when Mr. Brown or the broadcast engineer said, caller, your state your name and your and where you're calling from, he didn't call my number. I didn't know who he was talking to, and I got no idea
you
how many people get up on his board. No idea.
You have no idea.
So you got to let the person know that they should know their last digits, but maybe they don't. But that worked out very, very well, and I really appreciate positive feedback from everybody, and it was well accepted. I liked the music at the beginning. I hope everybody appreciated it. I liked it. The only thing I did
I liked it at the end, too.
Yeah, it kind of let everybody know we're closing this thing up. I did it about 3 minutes before the show got started. It was very soft.
Right.
It didn't interfere with nothing. And can you all hear the computer say you got 90 seconds? Did y'all hear that live?
Yes.
You did?
Tell me. Yeah, I heard it. I think it was almost subliminal because I've heard it before, so it wasn't I wasn't surprised to hear it.
Jansen, did you hear
it? I think so.
No, I need to know, because if the computer says it and everybody can hear it, then I don't have to say it. But if you all can't hear it, I'm going to remind you.
I don't know if I heard it, but I thought I heard it, but maybe it was just, like the man said, subliminal. It might have just been in my mind.
Okay,
right.
So it tells you 90 seconds and 60 seconds, and that's important, because if everybody can hear it, then I don't have to keep saying it. But if you can't hear it, I got to remind you, because I love the way Tyler, he ended his prayer like with seconds left in the show. And that's
exactly.
I like that because – that leaves the dead air time to a minimum, and that's what I really want. I also want to tell the person that this is what Council of Elders and making comments and that kind of stuff. I'm gonna press the mic on even before I finish the person's introduction about state your name and where you're calling from. I'm pressing the mic on at that time because I want to cut out the dead space. I want the whole program to flow. Go ahead.
Now, I heard that. This is Ron, and I did hear that. But
and I like that, Ron.
Because
I like that a lot, Ron, because every time you came on, you said, this is Ron. You need to remind people that Randy didn't know who you was because he never met you. And so nobody else has heard and knows your name. And the guy from Canada only said his name once. So no,
that's all that was necessary.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you're going to talk, we need to know who's talking.
Right. Now, and again, I really want to mention that as a subject of interest, if you will. Because we'll say the last 2 minutes, I would say open up everybody. Some people might be on mute. I was. I had nothing to wait for but Tyler's prayer. And then that was the only time that I just pressed my mute button, just say amen. But that doesn't mean that I have. Huh?
Keep this in mind, Ron. I hear you. But keep this in mind. All the people, the way Jackson wants it done, I think, all the people who are already unmuted or got a hot microphone have already been opened, and we only have 10 slots for people who want to talk. So it's a good idea. I get that. But I don't think I can open up everybody. I can open up to the max that I can try, because I understand about the amen.
Yeah.
I'll do the best I can.
That's all I'm saying with that. See, because I believe that with the folks that we have, they will be saying amen, and that's it. I'm not trying to make another comment because I understand that you. We got less than 2 minutes to go. He's praying. That means we're on our way out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only reason that I would open my mic is just to say amen. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
Now, but again, this is something that is going to be worked on because this is not our last show. And as folks start to understand where we are, they're going to be pretty much regulars. Okay? They know that within 2 minutes, my mic is open just to say amen. And that's it. I have got no more comments, and if I do, I'll try to break in, and more than likely, Oscar is going to tell me, no, we ain't got that much time. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I really like, as you say it, the way the show went around. I also really like the way it ended up because Tyler was able to get his prayer in. You were able to say bye, and that's it. Next week we'll pick it up. But
where we
it.
Left off. So where we left
right,
off.
Right there. Right there. So
you did a good job,
again,
Jackson. Thank you.
Really, yeah, I really enjoyed the show, gentlemen. I mean, I think that it was excellent.
All right.
Have a nice day.
See, there's something. Who flushed the commode? Who did that?
No. I was going, that's the only thing I didn't do I wanted to do. Right after, Jason threw me a curve when he said all kinds of comedians. But right after I got introduced to Jason, I was going to bring him alive and hit the applause button. And then he was going to talk. But that was just me. But I was just playing with the system. And the more I learned about how it works, it's a lot of fun. I'm going to enjoy it, and I think that this is the first of a lot of good shows. This is the first good show that I think we've had.
Well, I think that this is the best show we've had. I'll just put it that way. I don't think it's as good as we've ever had because we were only working with what we had. I think this is the best show that we've had up to date, and I'm very proud. This again is just something that's going to continue to get better and better and better. So, you know, I don't know who it was flush the commode, but I know I had mine on mute. I've been there too. As an old guy, you got to go every once in a while, okay?
Yeah, that's true.
Only every once in a while.
Well, I'm keeping it simple, okay?
Well, this is my second show, but I tell you what, I'm very impressed. I'm liking the format. I think the guest was very well chosen. I like what he had to say. That you know there were a few things that you know. I didn't agree with it, but that's the beauty of all of this. I mean, you know, it's the coming of minds, you know, so it's not always about whether I agree with what the person has to say, because they definitely have the right to say what they believe, you know, and that's what I like. That's what I like about this. I mean, because, you know, I certainly don't know everything, and people call me a mental health expert, but I'm not a mental health expert. I'm an expert on me. And he said pretty much the same thing. And I like that.
That's good, Mike, and I want to congratulate you on that, because see, all of us are different. We have different experiences, and the fact that you say, "Well, I don't agree with that," that's a discussion point. That is where you open your mind out to find out what somebody else is thinking. This is something, again, that I'm constantly learning. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. But I think outside of the box. So
who is this listening? Who is 7632 that's still online? It's a San Jose phone number. Who is this?
I think I recognize that number.
It's 408-270-7632. Somebody is still there that's listening.
I think I recognize that number, but I won't call her name.
Okay.
That sounds like the police to me.
The show is not live, but somebody is still listening to our conversation. And I left the machine on so that we can talk to each other without having to be a rapper.
7632, would you press 1, please?
Technically, they don't even have to do that because I already opened the microphone. All they got to do is talk. She's just listening. She is just listening.
And again, they just might be listening. But you know, I'm old school. If this is the FBI, just listen.
Yeah.
Right.
if that person presses the 1, it does create the little question mark on the side to let me know that they want to talk. Because I fully well understand that.
Right.
But I also
right.
fully well understand that if I just turn the microphone on, they're live anyway. And so whatever they're
okay.
doing in the background, I didn't do that. So all those dishes and stuff you were hearing, what I want y'all to fully understand is all of that stuff. Anything, if you just
yeah.
open up a chip bag, we hear that stuff just as well. Okay? Ron, I noticed you didn't holler at your dog this time. But if you holler at the baby, holler at the dog, doing all of that stuff, everybody can hear it. Everybody hears it perfectly. If you go over to the coffee machine, you go get a cup of coffee, you put your cup down, I can hear that. So you have to be either exceptionally quiet, and that's the other thing. Tyler, when he came on, had some outside noise. It was okay. It didn't last long, but when I had a motorcycle drive by and I had my microphone open, and so I have the ability to turn my mic off just by raising it up just like that. You can't hear me right now, but as soon as I pull it back down just like that, now you can hear me again. So I can turn off and turn on if the noise keeps getting bad. But everybody needs to know that, you know, one little click in the background, that's one thing. But a constant juggling of the dishes is unacceptable for this kind of medium.
Yeah, well, I think this is something that we will continuously be aware of as we go on. And it's simply because, like you say, you know, you had no idea that motorcycle noise was making back
then. No.
Whatever it was with Tyler, you had no idea that was happening. But that's
right.
the reason that we keep telling everybody, just put it on mute. If you don't, you will have to. And it's hard for you to figure out who's who. So let's just go to the first line of defense and just everybody put their phone on mute. When you come back on, tell them who you are. Luckily enough, we had plenty of folks on in this morning, but we kind of knew who was talking. I announced myself. Mr. Canada announced himself. So this is just something that we need to consistently mention to the people. It's not their responsibility. It's ours to let them know, okay, somebody's mic is open and they're doing dishes. I understand you know what I'm talking about. Amos. I understand what Amos was saying. We want to be cordial. But, you know, if you got to call somebody out, you got to call them out.
Well, you know,
I feel like today was a real nationwide show because we had Georgia represented, Alabama represented. We didn't have Texas, but we had Canada represented. And I'm thinking that we need to be spread out across the country. From Alabama to Canada is a pretty good stretch. And so
that's pretty good stretch. Yeah.
So I really appreciate the fact now that when I say that this is a nationwide show, I guess it could be worldwide if somebody was willing to pay the money to make it a long distance phone call. But that's a sweet deal, gentlemen. And so I was excited. I really am. And I think I can put the show up. I think it's already there. Actually, it takes a few minutes for it to download from New York because there is a lag time right now. If I went up to go look for it right now, I probably couldn't find it yet. But we'll see. Within the next 30 minutes or so, it'll probably be up in the queue. But I'll give it a shot. But
gentlemen, it's 11:30 now, and I'm going to have to move on. Y'all can keep talking if you want to, but I'm going to have to move on. It's a good show today, and thank you, Oski. You did a very good job. Everybody did a very good job, and we'll look forward to next week, same time, same station.
Amen.
All right, guys.
Okay.
Very good.
Bless you,
man. Take care, everybody.
Okay.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye. All right. He's gone. Michael, you're still there? Okay.